Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, RTE is set to broadcast a new five-part drama series next year based on the murder of Tipperary DJ Bobby Mr. Moonlight Ryan. And Patrick Kirk is serving a life sentence for the murder of Mr. Ryan after he was convicted back in 2019 after a trial that was, at the time, the longest in Ireland's history. Our own courts correspondent Frank Graney and host of Inside the Crime podcast is with me here on the programme today. Frank, what was your reaction when you heard about this new drama programme?
I was surprised and somewhat taken aback, I must say, because you don't hear of high profile cases in this country, I suppose, being dramatised in such a way very often. It was a case that I covered every day of, got to know the family quite well during it. So I was interested to read, I suppose, what shape it is going to take. There's not a hell of a lot of detail out there other than the fact that it is going to be broadcast across, I think it's five episodes next year. It'll be interesting, I suppose, to see, I suppose, how it is laid out, how the story is told, from what perspective. The devil is always in the detail, as you well know, Andrea.
You know, it's funny because I'm sure maybe some listeners are tuned in this afternoon and they're thinking, well, you know, I've heard podcasts about this case, or maybe there was a documentary, I think, from memory, and in the aftermath televised as well. It's very different, though, Frank, to a drama series.
Yeah, there was definitely a documentary. I know that because I was a contributor to it. It was on Virgin Media. Yeah, that's right. And the family were involved in that. And I think that's probably key for me, is I don't know what, if any, involvement Bobby Ryan's children, Michelle and Bobby Jr., have had in this. From a legal perspective, obviously, the filmmakers wouldn't have to acquire their consent or their seal of approval to go ahead and produce something like this. But from an ethical point of view, I think it does raise questions. You know, you mentioned I'm the host of Inside the Crime. We've three seasons under the belt. We're working on our fourth one at the moment. And just from our perspective and from my personal perspective, we would never cover a story without the support of the victim, if they're still alive, or the victim's families. And I think that's really important. But, you know, I suppose it is different when you look at a drama series like this one. And I'm sure we've seen the likes of the TV show, the Netflix show, name escapes me now, but it covered the O.J. Simpson murder over in the United States and the trial that followed. Cuba Gooding Jr., I think, played O.J. Simpson. I watched that. I suppose what you have to think about as well is, you know, the level of poetic license that a filmmaker might have that I certainly wouldn't have when it comes to producing something like Inside the Crime or making a contribution to a true crime documentary, when the facts are so important. You know, it's really important to be accurate. It's really important to give like a very accurate portrayal of the crime and the trial proceedings that followed. There's obviously a lot more room for nuance and whatnot when it comes to drama series like the one that's proposed for this. Like, take, for example, during the trial itself, where you would have heard from one of the key prosecution witnesses, Mary Lowry, you would have heard about exchanges that she had with Patrick Quirk, the man that was ultimately convicted of murdering Bobby Mr. Moonlight Ryan. You know, it was interesting to hear her side of those encounters, but to see that being played out by, and I've seen the cast, they're very good professional actors, obviously. You know, there's nuances in body language and in tone and in the way things unfold that you can, I suppose, import into a project like this that you just couldn't possibly do when it comes to factual true crime documentaries like the one that I've been involved in.
I'm reading some of the commentary from Malcolm Campbell, and Malcolm, the story has been adapted for the screen by writer Malcolm Campbell. Some of his credits include films like What Richard Did and 500 Miles, and some of the commentary that, you know, when asked about this, he says, "I was drawn to the story because of the people caught up in it, the human factor, the cost of it all. At its heart are real people whose lives have profoundly been affected by these events. Our responsibility has been to approach the process with care, with sensitivity and rigorous research while exploring the relationships and circumstances that made this case so compelling." And I also note the head of television at Screen Ireland, Kate McColgan, comments today too, talking about the murder of Mr. Moonlight approaches deeply complex real life events with huge care and sensitivity, all led by an incredibly strong strong Irish cast and creative team. Just looking at some of our own texts from listeners, Frank, today about this, who some feel like this listener, while I'm very interested in actually watching this particular drama and hearing about the impact it has had on all of those left behind, I feel it's too soon for a case like this. Do timelines matter?
They do from the family's perspective, and that's why just listening to your statements there, I mean, it's hard to tell how much, if any, as I say, engagement the family has had. And again, just from a legal perspective, just to be clear, like that's not important when it comes to rolling out these types of projects. But for the family, I know, like, we with Inside the Crime, we would go back in time, decades more often than not, to cover unsolved cases in particular, because we see, you know, a public interest and a public service in doing that. And, you know, the further you go back, I suppose it's maybe a little bit easier. It's never easy, but it's a little bit easier to approach families, and they're sometimes more willing to participate because, you know, they obviously have a vested interest in getting the story back out into the public domain. So again, when it comes to timeline and how soon these things are rolled out after the fact, I think the people that you have to be most conscious of, again, will be the family, Bobby Ryan's children and whatnot. And listening to that statement, and you look at that cast and look at the people who are involved and the production company involved, I mean, these are all very reputable, professional people. I have no doubt that they will approach this with the care and the sensitivity that it deserves. And there is a genuine public interest valve in bringing a case like this to an audience that may have never, you know, followed the trial, didn't read a judgment, never watched the documentary that I was involved in. And also you have to remember that these facts, the facts of the case, Catherine Fegan wrote a very good book about the murder of Bobby Ryan.
It's based on that book, actually, by Catherine Fegan.
Right. Okay. Well, and look, if Catherine Fegan is involved as well, I mean, she's a fantastic professional, and she would always have the victims and their families at the heart of whatever she does. But there is a reasonable argument to be made that, you know, when facts have already been aired in open court, as is the case here, there is an argument that filmmakers are retelling part of the public record. They're not revealing something that was private. Yeah. You know, it also adds a human element to a story in a way that regular court reporters can't, because I was very mindful throughout that trial, and again, as I say, I covered every second of it, that Bobby Ryan, he was a victim in that trial. He was almost like a piece of evidence. And I know that sounds like a really cold thing to say, but that is the reality of the case, because the jury wouldn't have been concerned with the person that Bobby Ryan was before he was killed, or the person that he could have potentially been if he hadn't been killed, what he aspired to be. You know, we get a little flavour of that from victim impact statements, but throughout the trial, and if you think about it, it makes sense, because a jury isn't concerned about the victim in that sense. They're just concerned about the accused person and whether they're guilty or otherwise. So something like this can actually open up a whole other perspective on Bobby Ryan. And I really hope that's what we see from the show.
Yeah, and I see the producers too of Conquer Pictures, you know, stating that their ambition has always been to move beyond the headlines and to explore the human story behind the case as well. Sam Blake, who's a crime writer and founder of the Murder One Festival, is with us here, Frank, on the line today too. I mean, we've really noticed this, Sam, in more recent years. There's huge interest in crime stories and true crime podcasts. Like, it's something that isn't, as the Irish public, we're fascinated by.
Absolutely. I mean, crime is one of the biggest selling genre across the world. Certainly crime fiction is. When I speak to librarians who work in prisons, true crime is very, very popular too. Not just in prisons, but in libraries right across the country. So yeah, it's a huge fascination. I think Frank has made so many really valuable and good points there in terms of sort of how recent this is in terms of the case itself, and I think that's something that hopefully the filmmakers will be mindful of. As he writes, as Catherine Fagan's a fantastic journalist, and obviously the book's it's based on her book, but it's being mindful of those people who this is very recent, relatively recent for. Do you know, it's it's not just the family.
Conviction
friends,
was only in 2019. Bobby Ryan's disappearance, June 2011. So it's in very recent memory for people.
Very recent, absolutely. And I think it's not just the family as well. I mean, obviously they're hugely important, but it's the friends. There's trauma, a huge trauma around something that happens like this. And certainly as crime writers, crime fiction writers, I think we're very careful to make sure that we don't sensationalise something, and nobody wants to profit off somebody else's trauma. That's super important. It's certainly very, very something I really take seriously when I'm writing, and all the the rights of bringing to the Murder One Festival are exactly the same. And I think that's really important. I mean, it does sound certainly that they are being very sensitive and they have spoken to the right people. I think there is a danger with drama, hopefully not in this country, but there is a danger that there, you know, you're aiming for that sort of cliffhanger and that element of sensationalisation when things can drift away from the facts. But as Frank rightly says, this was well covered in the media. There's been a true crime documentary about it. So I think it would be hard to drift away from the facts in this instance.
RTE has revealed this new drama series based on the murder of Mr. Moonlight. It's been commissioned by RTE alongside the BBC as well, actually. So it'll be aired there too. Screen Ireland and distributors Banja writes, it is based on the book of the same title by Irish Independent special correspondent Catherine Fegan that was published back in 2019. And the broadcaster also say that Bobby's daughter Michelle Ryan is among the Ryan family to have been involved and contributed to the drama, and that everyone else who has been impacted by this story has also been invited to contribute. It isn't due to air until next year, till 2027. I'm sure there'll be plenty more discussion about it then, but I can tell you from the text coming in today, a lot of people very, very interested in this case. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Our own Frank Graney, host of Inside the Crime podcast and Newstalk's courts correspondent and crime writer and founder of the Murder One Festival, Sam Blake. Thank you both for joining us here on the show.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.